It's a wonderful privilege to sit where we are sitting and hear what we are hearing. I know it may not feel wonderful, but that's because our eyes need to be opened to just see the privilege of being a family, of being part of God's household, of being spoken to as children, as a father would to children. And that's such a glorious privilege. We can just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Where God talks about his household. And he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are the temple of the living God. We are the dwelling place, the household, the house of God, the family of God, the place where God can feel at home. And he speaks to us as a father speaks to children. And that's the privilege that we have, that we would open our eyes and embrace it with both arms. Because otherwise we can sit and be discouraged, feel like, where am I and what are the standards in this church and how will I ever make it? But God is speaking to us as a father. As a father speaks to children because he loves us, because he has a hope for us. He's saying, come, I want to be a father, I'll help you. He says, I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So there is a picture, there's one picture in the Bible of the church as being a bride, which is a beautiful picture. There's another picture of us being the temple or the dwelling place of God. And just keeping that in mind, looking at, for example, another verse, where the verse we just read, it says, we are the temple of the living God. And God says, I will dwell in you, walk with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, we are no longer strangers and aliens. We're no longer strangers and aliens. You can't, go up to somebody on the road and, if you do that, he won't receive it. He'll get mad at you and that's fair enough. But when you come to your family, you have to hear things and receive it. So we're not strangers and aliens. We've come close to God and God speaks to us in love. He says, you are fellow citizens with the saints. You are of God's household. And then it says, we are built up on the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So God is joining us together and making us into a place where he can feel at home, where he can dwell. And he says, I will come and dwell in your midst. And that is what makes everything possible, all of the promises come alive. So I was just looking at that picture in relation to the church. And if we look at Jesus' life and how he lived it, and we look at his interactions in relation to the temple, okay? And we can get some light on God's dealings with us as a church. So, when Jesus was very young, when he was 12 years old, we know this. He went to the temple, he started talking to the Pharisees over there, he was listening, and his parents were looking for him, and he said, I have to be about my father's business, I have to be in my father's house. At an early age, he had a sense of responsibility towards his father's house. And then, at the outset of his ministry, this is in John chapter 2. We don't have to go there, but I can just tell you, John chapter 2, at the outset of his ministry, soon after his first miracle, he told his mother, I'm not sure my time has come, my time has not come yet. And then he understood that, his time had come. He did his first miracle. First thing he did, he went to the temple. He made a cord, okay, so he picked up ropes over there, made a rope, a whip, deliberately, and chased everybody, chased all those money makers out of the temple. And he said, get out of here, this house is meant to be a house of prayer. He did this right at the beginning of his ministry, probably the first thing he did, after the miracle of Cana, the first thing that he did. And it was not an impulsive action, it was a very deliberate, you can just imagine Jesus, putting that whip together and driving, cleansing the temple. And brothers and sisters, we have to see that that's exactly the same zeal. That's the heart of Jesus that we're hearing, that the temple should be cleansed. It should be a dwelling place of God. It should not be a den of robbers. And that is what we are hearing. And we should just receive that. I want to receive that with all my heart. I want to cleanse myself and say, yes, Lord, that was the first thing on your mind. And he did this at the beginning of his ministry, right at the end of his ministry as well. Soon after he went to Jerusalem, you can look at this. It's there in several of the Gospels. We can look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, so this story is there in Matthew and in Luke. When he entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, triumphantly came back into Jerusalem. The first thing he did was to go to the temple. And I mean, if you look at the parallels in the three Gospels, the same story in the three Gospels, you look at Mark 11. It says, if you look at the other Gospels, it says he went into the temple and cleared the temple, okay, once again. But if you look at Mark 11, it tells you a little bit more. It says in Mark 11, verse 11, he entered Jerusalem, he came into the temple, he looked around at everything. Mark 11, verse 11. He came into the temple, looked around at everything. And because it was already late, he left for the evening to Bethany. So, the first thing that Jesus wanted to do when he came to Jerusalem was to go and look at the temple. And he looked around at everything. And he said, this is not right. Did he do something right away? Did he, you know, start overthrowing tables? No. But that was in his heart. And the next day morning, the first thing he did when he came back to Jerusalem was he cleared the temple once again. And he said, y'all have made it a den of robbers. We can, you know, see that Jesus is not acting emotionally. He's making deliberate choices. And we have been called just now to make some deliberate choices. Clear the temple. This is not supposed to be a den of robbers. It's supposed to be a place that's the dwelling place of God. The wonderful thing that I see, okay, if you look at the story, the same story in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus clears the temple. Verse 12, 13, 14. Jesus entered the temple, cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 12, 13, 14. He overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those who were selling doves. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. And then what did he do? You know, next sentence. While he was in the temple, he had just caused all this ruckus. It says, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Praise God, brothers and sisters. We see a glorious picture of Jesus over there. A Jesus who had a fiery passion for the cleansing, the holiness of God, that his God, his Father's name should be honored. This is my Father's house. And the same Jesus who was tending to the needs of others, opening blind eyes, helping the lame to walk. Brothers and sisters, if we are honest with ourselves, we have received both of these ministries in this church. We have seen Jesus in our midst. On one hand, driving out the money makers and saying, this is my house, it must be holy. On the other hand, opening blind eyes, helping the lame to walk, opening deaf ears, the same Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is, brothers and sisters. I want to follow this Jesus. And I want to give myself to the house of God the same way that Jesus gave himself to the house of God. If we look at where Jesus was quoting from, he was quoting from Jeremiah 7, where he says, has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? So this is Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it. You know, we know that Jesus came. He looked around at the temple. He saw everything that was happening. Then he came back and cleansed it. And when God looks at our lives, at the hidden places, as we heard, what is he going to see? And he says, you know, verse 4, chapter 7, verse 4. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We can, you know, we can get into a deception. Like the people over here got into a deception. They came to this temple of the Lord and they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, verse 4. But he said, you know, you're actually following after other gods. There is wickedness in your life. So don't trust to deceptive words. It's a wonderful salvation that we have, brothers and sisters, that we can't sit in this church and be deceived. that we are called to examine our lives and cleanse our hearts of idols. But that's the Father's heart. And I want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to do this. I want to receive your words. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for doing this in my life. And thank you for calling me to do this for others. Not just to nourish them, cherish them, open their eyes, but also to help them to be free. And starting with myself, starting with examining myself. In a situation like this, I was just thinking, what should we do? And I was looking at the example of David. And if you can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, there's a lot there in that chapter, but it's a good place for us to think about this in relation to the temple and in relation to the house of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So, in the circle that God has given me, if I'm a father, if I'm a husband, you know, I can love my wife like this, to cherish her, to provide for her, at the same time to cleanse her with the word, to take responsibility for that, that in my life, in her life, in my children's life, that Jesus should be first, should increasingly be first. And David, over here, it says, King David said to the entire assembly, and he's talking about the temple, this is at the dedication of the temple. He says, my son is young and experienced, the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, with all my ability, I have provided for the house of the Lord. Okay, and he talks about all the things that he's provided. But he's saying this is a great work. It's a wonderful place. It's the house of the Lord. And all the nations are going to marvel at it. He was talking about a physical building. But we have to see that is what God is building, a wonderful place where he is in the center. And he's using us to be living stones in connection with each other and with Jesus Christ on the foundation. And who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? That's a good question. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? That I will give myself to the Lord and to his people to build this temple. And then he prays a wonderful prayer. And if we can just look at verse 17 and 18. It's a wonderful chapter, but just look at verse 17 and 18. Since I know, O my God, that you try the heart, and you delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. And I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. So I come to you, Lord. You know my heart. I can't hide anything from you. I want to give myself all that I have to this work. And these are your people. They're also doing that. And it says, Lord, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And that is my prayer. Lord, you preserve this intention in my heart and in your people's heart. Brothers and sisters, can we just pray this prayer based on what we've heard today? Preserve this intention in my heart that I will give myself to your household, that I'll give myself to your people as you give me light, as you lead me forward. And it says, then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers. And we can say, we want to bless God who's been a father to us, who's spoken to us as a father, who's cared for us as a father. And say, Lord, keep me in this place where this will be the intention of my heart all my days. Amen.